The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery.
Bye.
Thank you.
You have a fiance?
Yeah. For a couple years.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. So congratulations. A couple years late.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We can cut that. We can keep it in, but... That's AC Lang.
Knowledge, I think.
Okay, good. Of WSoccer.ca is joining us today on the broadcast. I'm Amy Walsh, Signe Butler, and Shereen Ahmed are also here. But AC, it's been a while. Thank you for coming back and visiting us, which is it's always a treat. So we're going to dive into week six of NSL action. But before that, we're going to talk about some other things, some implications, some national team stuff and decisions and nationalities. So, but before that, BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. Not Shereen's typing on her keyboard that you can hear very clearly there. So I thought first things first, just to get it out of the way, big move for Nikki Small of AFC Toronto. I think arguably one of the, actually, no, I'll say it, arguably one of the best players in NSL. And I, big fan of Nikki Small last year. I think she's leveled up again this year and doesn't get noticed by Casey Stoney and the senior women's national team after playing for the youth national teams in Canada. So AC, we'll start with you. Is this a big loss for Canada to see Nikki Small join the ranks of Jamaica?
I got a lot of texts after this all came down, and it was kind of one after the other, right? It was the roster came out, she wasn't on it, and then the Jamaica roster got announced. And so first people were upset that she weren't on it, and then people were like, oh no, she's gone. Because you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but if she files the switch, like, that's one time, right? So she can't come back, to my understanding. And in my opinion, it's a big loss. People on the internet seem to think it's a big loss. I can't really wrap my head around it because the reasoning for some of the other inclusions were that, you know, there's a dual national concern and that we might lose someone like Luce. Sorry about the pronunciation, if that's not right. But then we don't do the same for Nikayla. And I think she probably has been just courted by Jamaica for so long now, and she can be a core piece of that team that she's probably said, why not, right? And so you can't really fault the player for the decision, but I think we've lost a really impactful player who I think could have made a big difference and clearly was relied upon heavily on the youth national team. She captained several of the youth national teams. A lot of her youth coaches are kind of perplexed by this decision. So in my opinion, big loss. And yeah, I'm still kind of grieving it.
Same. Sigs and Shereen, you guys have anything to add?
I think I'm with you, like, with that sort of, like, grieving piece, if you will. Like, I just don't think that you don't include a 23-year-old player who has been such an impactful player in your youth system, who's obviously playing 90 minutes game in, game out for AFC Toronto, making impact every time she plays, good offensively in terms of driving the ball forward, but even better, like, as a defensive midfielder, like, really accountable. I don't know why she wasn't called in. And we talked to Marko Milanovic, coach of AFC Toronto, and he said, I hope Canada's not making a mistake here. But for the player, I think it's excellent. And to your point, AC, that she's going to be a fixture. She's going to be like, she's going to play a major role for Jamaica. Whereas with Canada, maybe you're off the bench. Maybe you're, you know, you don't get that same high profile playing, you know, 90 minutes a match, which I think it's good for her. It's too bad for Canada. It's like, what might have been. What might have been is the because I, you know, she's going to get tied. So
yeah. So I will corroborate, AC, what you said. If you start out in one national program and you leave, you can't go back. So this is a final decision. right? For Nikki Small. So also this decision didn't happen overnight. So this must have been in the works for a little while. As Amy said, Jamaica, like the Reggae Girls were probably courting her. And look, for me, I'm happy she's going to be a stalwart on that team. And we know that. We know she's going to do good things. They had a really interesting and fun run in 2023, that team. They've, you know, suffered some bumps, like funding issues and whatnot, like the Jamaican team. But I'm really happy for her in the opportunity that will give Nikki Small. It'll draw attention to her foundation. It'll bring a lot of attention to her in other ways. And that's kind of what she wanted. The one thing I will say here is that what this is, my concern about this is that Casey Stoney not picking her is almost a comment on the league. Like, this is one of, as we said, the strongest players in the NSL who was still not good enough to make the national roster. Hmm. So that's my, this is again conjecture, but I'm, what does it say about that, or the non-selection rather? And because not only has Nikki Small been consistent, she's also taken a leadership role on the team, which is a different kind of skill. And I think, you know, there's been some, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing for AFC Toronto, you know, jewelry notwithstanding. So I think, for me, there's a couple of different elements, and I totally agree with Signa that this is going to be good for her. Did Canada miss the proverbial boat? 100%. She's 23. It's, if she was 29, this would be a different conversation. So, but again, you reap what you sow. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. From Casey Stoney's perspective, I don't think you can be disdainful about your player pool and not include Nikki Small, at least in a couple of camps. Like, and also I think there's a bias there, you know, whether she's aware of it or not. You know, that yes, there's a league, she speaks in glowing terms about what it's going to do projecting forward in terms of player development and that elite pathway. But I think that you, if you look down your nose slightly at a league, and Nikki Small is emblematic of the talent that's available in this league, and you let her go so easily, like, this is, to Signa's point again, this will be galvanizing for Nikki Small. She's cut loose from Canada, never really considered, you're slighted. Like, I would use that motivation to fuel my performance with a different national team.
And there's some selections, yeah, that I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand. Like, Jordan Liston's going to be 30. Listro? Like, I just, yeah. Sorry, Listro. Like, I, there's some that I don't understand. Like, as a, when you're comparing pound for pound against Nikki Small, right, in terms of visibility, in terms of personality. So, I, like, again, I don't understand. Maybe there's a magic formula that I just simply don't see.
Yeah, I hope, and that's maybe not a pattern, though. Go ahead, AC.
Yeah, maybe they considered her and, like, it was too late by this point, right? Like, maybe that, maybe she could have gotten the call and she was kind of like, you know what? No, right? We don't really know what happened in the background, but even if you just compare the kind of U20 team that she was on for that World Cup, I forget the exact year, but like 9 of her teammates from that team have already gotten a call to the senior national team. That's half the team. And so it makes it even harder to justify. And regarding Listro, she's a 95. So yeah, she's already 30. She plays for the USL, which, you know, they like to pretend that they're a tier one league, but I don't think they're quite there yet. So you're basically selecting a second league player over one of our first league players. So I totally understand, Shireen, why you would see that as a slight and a bit of a disrespect towards the NSL, which might have happened before already, right? So a little bit of a repetition there too. So it's genuinely difficult to understand.
And realistically, a little bit of hypocrisy in your selection as well. To your point, EC, about, yes, you're sanctioned as tier one if you're USL, because that's what the USSF says. But if you're comparing kind of pound for pound players who are elite from NSL versus USL, I think that the likes of Nikki Small would stack up very, very well. And in, to your point about whether this was decided for a long time, maybe we're putting blame on Casey Stoney where it doesn't belong. But in speaking to Billy Wilson, I don't think Nikki Small was ever considered for a senior national team camp. So,
which is this really? I don't know whether this is like goes down to funding or whatever. We were talking about Camp Poutine earlier and how it would mean a lot to have some of these domestic based players be called into a camp environment. I think by not inviting her into the environment, you're not seeing what kind of player she is and how she interacts with everyone and the chemistry that she forms. There's a reason why she's the captain of a youth team. Like, she's not some schlep out there. Like, this is a player that, you know, like it's, I'm kind of mad about it, guys, like, to be quite honest. Like, and maybe this process, AC, to your point, like, it could have been, you know, like, she may have made her decision like a while ago, but like, it's a slight, like, it is a slight. And yeah, I'm kind of mad about it. Just because I, you
getting
know,
riled up.
Yeah.
We watch her play week in, week out. I like, you know, she can dribble out of a phone booth when she needs to.
Consistently near the top of tackles in the league.
Tackles. I was just about to say that.
Tackles, recoveries, yeah. The way that she presses, the way that she counter presses, the out of possession is just as impressive as the in possession, and her versatility, whether she's deployed out wide, in the midfield as a six, as a 10, she can do it all. Yep. So why
and
not
leadership
give her a chance to prove herself like DB Pridham got?
Leadership. She's engaged community wise. She's really an all round player when you're looking at personality, performance, skill. Like, she really is that textbook player you want to be. I'm kerfuffled.
Yeah, I think we all are. I think this discussion has been, I mean, all of us getting riled up, I think, as the segment we're on is reflective of what the fan base is feeling. I think, AC, you mentioned it off the top. I think a lot of people are really pissed that we're losing somebody as talented as Nikki Small. Okay, but shifting gears. Oh, you want to say something else?
I see one more thing. This is a good thing for women's football that we're getting riled up about this. Like, yes. You know, I think for years we were always like, oh, the men's team lost this guy to this national team and the other to England or to, you know, wherever. And that was their voice that they used at the time.
Right.
And, but I think it's good, right? That we're having these conversations and that we're ticked off about it. And that, like, it's also a warning sign to the Canadian coaching staff in this country. Not everybody is going to stick around and wait for their turn.
Boom. Clock it. Ute. Clock it. Love that. 100%. I love how AC burst out laughing.
Okay. We're cognizant of AC's time though, because AC's joining us from the West Coast and she's got to go to work after the broadcast. So
it's like 4 a.m.
Continue to put her to work. So diving right in, we've got a couple of more housekeeping issues that we'll get to the end of the show. I know Shireen is eager to get to that, but a quick score roundup from week 6. So it saw the visiting Rapid beat the Tides 2-1 at Wanderers Grounds. Then a bit of a barn burner is a word we like to throw around here in the Broads, where the Rise, after being defeated 4-0, really dominated by the Roses, went back to Stade Boreal and they walked away. The winners claimed all 3 points as they won 3-2. And then goals, goals, goals for AFC Toronto. And my gosh, were they probably relieved. Kaylee Hunter gets her first of the year. And also the team opened Calgary up in piss poor conditions to win 4-0. So let's really quick take a look at our standings here. So that means the Roses were previously undefeated, but they stay top of the table, even though they drop points. So they're on 13. The Rapid are second with 12. Then we've got the Rise, who have climbed their way up. Much better form since that tactical tweak. And they're on 9 points. AFC Toronto on 7 with the Tides as well. And then the Wild are at the bottom of the table with the lowly single point. So will we start with that Rapid victory at Wanderers Grounds? Or AC, I'll let you decide. Your 11 that you sent to me got worked into the collaborative kind of broadcast best 11. So you might have some quibbles with it. So should we start with our best 11 and work backwards? Or did you guys want to do a quick recap of each of our games?
Oh, I don't want to fight yet. Let's do the recaps.
Okay. So we'll go with you though. So what stood out to you in that performance where the Rapid went into Wanderers Ground and walked away with 3 points?
Yeah, I think the Rapid kind of got it done in the end. I didn't think they were that really dominant necessarily most of the game. I thought the Tides kind of showed similar energy as they have all season, but you are kind of seeing a similar pattern where they're playing well, but they're not necessarily winning games. And so I thought the Rapid had quite a professional performance. I thought Erickson was quite good. I had her in my 11. I guess that's a bit of a getting ahead of myself there. But yeah, I thought Erickson was
quite good.
Yeah, I thought Erickson was quite good. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw that Bay FC game where they played Bay FC before in the preseason and Dagenet was still with the Canadian national team. And I mean, that's such a selection headache for the coaching staff of the Rapids. I think that's just generally the two best keepers in the league, or at least, you know, two of the three. And so that was really cool to see her get the start. And then on the Tide side, I thought Kennedy was quite good. I still love that new center back pairing. I mean, I miss Annika Leslie because she's one of my favorite players, but Cardoza and Wickers just holding it down. And so I guess I'll hand it to you guys after that.
What did you guys think your standouts from? By the way, maybe this is time we can address our East Coast bias. So we've been accused, AC, of having a heavy East Coast bias here on the Broads. And I just want to be clear to all of our listeners and people who are commenting, we appreciate your listenership, your viewership, and thank you for following along in NSL Season 2. But we don't work for the league. So anything that you hear on the podcast are our own opinions and are not endorsed by the league. So if we choose to talk about the Tides because they made big changes in the offseason and they're playing much better than they did last year, that's why. And we didn't talk about AFC Toronto last week because they were idle. And we didn't talk about the Vancouver Rise prior to, say, last week because they were shit. And now they're doing better. So there we go.
And as one of the people who was pointed at being biased, we didn't have AC on from the West Coast just to balance that out. That was just coincidental that AC's here to counter that. I'm happy for Halifax doing better. And like I've said that publicly, just like I'm happy for the Roses who are doing better. I have said multiple times on different occasions, if you happen to miss a section where we're lauding someone or critiquing someone, that is not Broad's problem. That's a you problem. So fix it and catch up with all the episodes. We've not only had Jessica DeFilippo on here, we have talked about, you know, the way that, you know, their start, yes, was bumpy. I've used that analogy a couple of times. But honestly, like we are, I think we're pretty fair about it. Are Sig and I from Halifax? Yes. Are we proud of it? Yes. I'm not going to apologize for that. However, I think we're pretty fucking fair in what we say. And that's like, we will talk about good football when good football happens. And we'll critique bad football when that happens. So,
yes, calling a spade,
which is good for the NSL, which is good for women's football. That's what we want, right? You want to have some critical discussion. Okay, so I'll go with the Halifax Ottawa. I watched this game, wasn't on the call on this game. Thought Matt and Aaron did a wonderful job. It was an exciting game. I think Diana Matheson called it "What a game."
Yes. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, punctuation included in there. I thought Halifax though was unlucky with the result. I think to use AC's, I love professional win. Like you come in and you like get it done in the last minute, as DB often does, like coming in and scoring that goal for Ottawa. But I thought Halifax, for the most part, really played that game well. I Erickson stood up. I think that there was a couple opportunities. You know, you had woodwork by Sid Kennedy. You had a couple saves again from Erickson. I think it might have been a different result. Be interesting. I'll be interested to talk to Stephen Hart and see how he felt about the whole team's performance. I know that one of the glitches that they've had is they have moments where they don't take care of the ball. And that was, to me, the opening goal, Jaleesa Harris converting, but that was a comedy of errors in the box.
Yeah, and just picking up the pieces.
Yeah, and again, like the DB's goal, you know, there was a miscue that led to that goal. So I think that taking care of the ball is still one area that Halifax needs to be mindful of for 90 minutes. You have to be the full 90 minutes, right?
Yeah, a bit of a smash and grab as well, because Ottawa had the balance of possession, but they were outshot 12-11. So I think to your point, Sig's a little bit unlucky. And before you jump in, Shireen, is it time to see Annika Toth? Do we know if Toth is healthy? I've been very impressed through the beginning of this season with Riley Foster Inman, but there's that miscommunication on Harris's goal between she and Cardoza, which again, as you said, comedy of errors. The second half and the goal by DB doing what DB does, is just pouncing on a ball and poaching. Which is good to see from her perspective, but again, mishandling a bobble by Foster Inman. But then the supporters group for the Tides, remind me what they're called.
The Beacons.
Beacons.
Thank you. The Beacons did a screen grab, and Adam X cleat or toe is just in there. And so they're claiming and crying foul to say that Foster Inman was fouled, and that led to the bobble, which led to the Pridham winner. So goalkeeping. So we saw it on the Rapid side, like when Dajna returns, like what's going to happen there for Katrina Peterson, who gets the gloves. But then for the Tides, if Toth is healthy, is it time for a change?
I think that is a fantastic problem for Halifax to have. We are in a league where there's some teams that are struggling with their goalkeeping options. And the fact that Halifax is too, like you both, Foster Inman has been really great in some places. Yeah. And then, you know, then has not been so much with, you know, that happens. Goalkeepers make mistakes. But I am also interested in Toth coming back because she had a stellar performance, was pushed into a starting role. Season last year really came out. Really quick way to get experience. I do want to say before I forget, Sid Kennedy's pass to Julia Benatti lives in my dreams.
Benatti Butte. What it a was, goal that was.
Benatti I do, scored bangers.
That shot was stellar, but I do want to say, as somebody who was good at passing back in the day, I do want to talk about the maestro-ness of that pass. The sensibility to pass the way she did, the anticipation. I love a good pass. I think, and just bear with me here, I think Andres Iniesta, there's no way people could score without those passes on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. I have replayed that in my head. It's going into my self-care dossier. That's how much I loved it. So, and there's another little cheeky thing that we'll talk about later. I just loved it. There's moments, and it was move of the match cows. I love that whole branding. I think it's hysterically funny and apropos to the East Coast. So I enjoyed all of that whole thing. So I just wanted to talk about that pass because I, and Benatti's goal, because I loved it.
Yeah. Bend it like Benatti. You heard it here
bend
first.
Bend it like Benatti.
Love it.
All right, shall we move on to the next match? Let's go AC. Listen, you're an AFC Toronto, like one of the OGs from that, the Vermilion Vanguard, right? That supporters group. Now you're out west. You've been to Swangard. You're supporting the Rise. You're supporting the league. How are you feeling about, I know it wasn't Vancouver versus Toronto, and we can get into that narrative we have done on this podcast, but how are you feeling going to Rise matches, and how are you feeling seeing them kind of come out of the basement of this league and have a really uneven beginning?
Yeah, I haven't made it to the supporter section yet. That'll be my next step, but I haven't felt quite ready. That would feel disloyal. Mm. But I did go to Swangard, was it last weekend, 2 weekends ago? And I got to say, it was pretty cool. Like, hard to say this out loud in public, but it does beat the York Lions experience. Like, it's better because just how the roof kind of contains the energy. And just the sound even is a lot better. And it just feels like more of a vibe, but don't tell anyone I said that.
It's okay. It's just stay between us.
Yeah. No, it's interesting how just a tactical tweak can make such a big difference.
Yeah.
Where it hasn't even changed that much in defending, because they're still kind of defending in their 4-4-2, but then the attacking transition and going to the three back, pushing Bout out wide, and Ponte has made a really big difference, in my opinion. It's been cool to see how just those small tactical changes for someone like myself, I'm a bit of a tactical nerd. It's been cool to see how effective that's been. And so, big fan of what the Vancouver Rise are doing. I think they are just kind of getting more and more consistent. The new pieces are gelling, and I think we're seeing the results. And that 3-2 win was a really, really good game. That was a fantastic game. Probably one of the best so far.
Yeah, and I called it a barn burner because it ended 3-2, so we got 5 goals. We could have had 8, could have had 9 goals. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the amount of woodwork that was smashed in this match. Like, the fans at Stade Boreal were probably on their feet for most of that contest. What stood out to you, Signe, in that one?
Oh, well, that, like, just the willingness to go at goal. And, like, yeah, it was, I loved it. I love the woodwork. It was great. Nigel had a great call. He's like the woodwork is still, vibrating from, I think it was Jess DeFilippo's free kick that just went off the crossbar. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great game. I liked Vancouver's resilience. I think we saw a little bit of that last season as well. Like, when they were down in games, they always found a way to kind of come back. I really like the way they're playing right now. I think Ponte is a delight to watch. Just like tenacious, loves going forward, loves going at people, and like comes up with the ball. Like, she's a really a great player. And Bout on the other side, I think you have two workhorses on both sides of the pitch that have really elevated their game. And I know how much Anja Heiner-Muller has talked about how much Anna Bout worked in the off season. Apparently she went to town and she worked her socks off to get where she is this year, both from a technical perspective, but from a physical perspective. And I think it shows.
Yeah, much more impactful. And I have so much time for the engine and the work rate and the replication of runs. She's tireless, like really, really outstanding. And that almost does her a disservice, because there is quality and class within the player as well. And a shout out also to Josie Longhurst, who missed a sitter off of a squared ball from Abdu. So I was so pleased to see her get her first NSL goal. That was really good. And Bennett just keeps making noise for the Roses. A little bit of a miscue from Wolf, I think, where she it was great to have Craig Forrest on the call as the goalkeeper to be able to talk about the nuances of the goalkeeper, and mishit by Pachurski a little bit. So causes her to stay. And then she goes a little bit too late and Bennett doesn't need much space and she buries it.
It was such a weird bounce.
It was. Well, listen, Stade Boreal on that turf, you're good for a couple of really wonky bounces every game. Mm-mm.
I thought that match was really fun. Like, I thought Ottawa, Halifax, and then, Vancouver, Montreal, they're really good matchups. They're matchups in the sense of, like, they were thrilling, like, back and forth. And like Sig just said, there was, like, this tenacity and hunger till the very end. Like, DeFilippo's goal came very late, like, the game winner. And it was great to see them constantly working so hard to score like that. Yep. That makes it, I didn't feel like there was a lull where I just felt like it kept going at a pace, and I was really fun to watch. I was exhausted after it because watching it was exhausting. I know I was the tired one. It's about me, but it was really fun. Like, I think I say this every week. Oh, this was my favorite week, but this was my favorite week.
Okay. You're going to hear. Do you think, though, the substitutes will go back to you, AC, before we go on to our last match? But we saw it last year with Ross Atoyu, where he didn't quite have the depth and quality in his roster that he has this year. So he has more subs at his disposal. Paquet makes a difference. He gets on the board and gets their second. But I feel like Vancouver just surged into that second half, whereas it pretty evenly fought first. But then Francois, you saw Hill, who's performed very well in this second year, but just looked like she didn't have the legs and got overrun a little bit into space. And that led to the DeFilippo goal.
Yeah. And you could see that Vancouver was still very much sticking to the game plan, regardless of their personnel. And I want to give Abdu a shout out on that one, because she, I can't remember if she won the ball or not, but she kind of played it perfectly into that pocket behind the left-sided center back, where that's absolute kryptonite on the three-back formation, right? And then especially with the tired Hill, which it looked pretty warm on the day, and she's been, like, Montreal hasn't changed their lineup that much, so she's played a lot of minutes so far. And you could see that Perrault's legs, which was another excellent substitution.
Oh, I said Francois. Perrault, yes.
No, yeah, it was Perrault. Okay. She just beat her to that ball, and, you know, they kept a cool head after that. But, yeah, it was a very, very clear game plan as to how to beat that three back, just continually kind of hitting into the space in behind the center backs.
Yeah, so kudos to Enya Heiner-Muller, because yes, that tactical tweak, even though we saw them build in a 3-4-3 last year, there's just a clarity about how they're going to do it this year with the current personnel, all those big pieces gone. I think they were missing kind of that ingredient and the personnel who was going to drive the attack. And then now with that little tweak, it's just what they needed, I think, to unleash the weapons that they naturally have going forward. What's that?
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question. I'm putting my hand up for our listeners out there. I don't know whether this is a hot take on the season right now or what you guys think, but for me, the best player in the NSL this season is Lisa Pachurski.
I don't think that's hot. A hot take. No, lukewarm at best, Signe Butler.
Is it really?
No, really? I think it's a hot take because you're calling it, you know, 5 or 6 games in.
Yeah,
right?
It's early. It's early. It's like us saying that Elise Bennett's going to win the Golden Boot, right?
Right.
We said that the first 5 minutes that she played. So the only thing I would push back on was like, I would say Elise Bennett, actually. But see. Okay. We'll see. Pachurski has been so, so consistent and solid. Like, just, oh my gosh. She's like such a reliable vehicle, and not luxury necessarily, but the one, she's like Alexis. They last a long time. No, I don't know cars.
Me neither. This is just, it's not the right vehicle for me to shine in this segment.
So help us out, dear listeners.
I mean, can we talk about food? Can we go back to umami?
If Lisa Pachurski was a car, she would be like, I feel like Elise Bennett would be truffle oil, but Pachurski would be a solid Dijon mustard, which I love.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's an injection of a little bit of bite, right? A little
bit of bite. And the base of so many important sauces and recipes.
Oh wait, and also it's an emulsifier.
Uh-oh.
We're on to something here. As soon as we moved away from cars, I livened up.
I feel like AC would like this conversation too.
Yeah, it's working for me.
What do you think about that shout about Pachurski?
Yeah, I think you're probably on the right track. I don't think Bennett looks nearly as good without Pachurski. So I think you're onto something there. Signa. I can't think of anyone who would be much better. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. Early days yet, early call for player of the year.
I have a question. I need us to talk really quickly about Caslin Vievi Wolf. Mm. What's happening there? AC, you're out there. What are your reports?
My reports. I think maybe it just is about the build-up play. Yeah. You know, Wolf looks a little bit better with the ball at her feet, and that's not to take anything away from McGaslin. What a great inaugural season. But I think based on how the coach wants to play, that might be the defining factor. And then also, you know, maybe you're looking at a bit of a longer term play too. Like, who do you want to be in net for the coming years? Wolf is so much younger. And so I don't have any insider information, but that would be my guess, that it's about the build up play and the ball at her feet.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of rotation last year after an error. I think it was a gift to Kaylee Hunter at Swangard last season, if memory serves. And there was a little bit of a change, but it was McCaslin's net really for the rest of the year, and reflective in her play. And she's a tremendous shot stopper. But in terms of the build-up play, her ability with the ball at her foot, I think it's Wolf by a landslide. And yes, definitely has the youth, because she's 20, right?
Yeah, and she came up through the Japanese national team system, who they're notoriously good with the ball at their feet, right? So probably as good as an outfield player.
Yeah. Okay, Signe Butler, you were on the call, the first ever NSL watch party.
Yeah.
With Erin McLeod and Kate McKenna. So maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that, but really tough conditions at McMahon. So like, home games for the Wild have been really difficult to navigate. There's no advantage to be found to have home games seemingly, but another challenging match, both for Talbert and the team in front of her.
Yeah. And shout out to all the Hardy fans that like have been going out to those games in the worst weather, the Wild Roses. I know like some of them were there. Some of them were also heading to Edmonton to watch the men's national team.
You showed up. AC and I were talking about that before we pressed the record button.
Oh yeah.
My
yeah.
goodness. Bravo. But,
you know, their fans are loyal. Their fans are with them thick and thin. Like I got a DM, I can't remember who it was from. So apologies if you're a listener of the show, but that, you know, they were there in the rain and the 4-0 loss. There's been a lot of losses this season. It's been real rough. Yeah, I try to find the positives, and I think that the Wild had a better effort. I know the scoreline says 4-0, but I think there was a better effort from the team, and I think that that was something that Sinead McSherry, interim coach, was concerned about in their last game. You know, it was also a 4-0 loss. Am I not mistaken? I'm sorry. Like, yeah. And that they found, when she was watching back film and the team was watching back film, there just wasn't effort. Like they just weren't running for balls. They weren't shifting. They weren't, they just weren't doing what you need to do. Like have the energy level to play at this level. And I think they showed it at times, but AFC Toronto, all due respect, came in. They had a mission. Defensively, they were rock solid. They didn't give up anything. Like I think, mm-hmm. I think they might have touched the ball like twice in the 18 yard box. Like it was not a busy day at all for Sophia Manor, who was in goal.
Yeah, but shout out to that back five, right?
But it's Burns, the back five.
Pickett, Rollins, Cathro, and Barnett.
They were outstanding. Like you cannot take anything away from them. And the chance creation hasn't been AFC Toronto's issue this season. It's been finishing, and they finished every chance they had. Like, it was a rough one. Another rough one for the Wild. It should be said their captain Maggie Doherty Howard also still not playing right now. She had a new cast put on her thumb. And they still have injuries. They're managing minutes, but it was nice to see, you know, Maya Jones start the game. It was nice to see Collie Johnson start the game again. They're going to get better. It's early in the season. Don't throw it away, but like they need more depth. And I just keep saying that I hope the Wild, and I did make a mistake, by the way, last week, because I thought that Alex Brook was still with the team and she is not a sporting director. But they need to absolutely find more people. If they're not doing it right now, like get on it, because the summer transfer window, you need to beef up this team. Not only for the injury situation.
That's on brand for Calgary.
But just the quality situation. Like you have to beef it up. Get some competition for positions. Create competition within the club. That will get the energy level up, you know, when you're worried about your starting spot. Absolutely. So that's all I have to say. I feel for them. I really, really feel for them. It's a tough situation, and it's not good for the league either to have a team that's struggling that much.
And I'm just going to pile on a little bit, because they're shipping goals for fun. So like they've played five matches. They lost 2-0, then they lost 5-2. Then their lone point came from a 2-2 draw with the Roses. Then they shipped 4 versus the Tides and another 4 versus AFC Toronto and didn't score any of their own. So you're right. Your fate can still change. You can still bring in some players. You move players off the injury list. You get your captain back. You get the person who drives the play, sets the tempo from the middle of the park, even though I think Jackie Savitsky has been doing a great job in the absence of Maggie Doherty Howard. But it's dire in Calgary right now. So I think you're the brass there. You have to bring in some quality and some talent to help this team out right now.
I do think Wild played way better than they did last time. It was 4-0. So I agree with you that there was a different energy around them. But Lauren Rowe coming in, which was also my second favorite moment, coming in to score was fantastic. Like, she's cheeky. She's getting an opportunity because Okoronkwo is still out. I think she's using the opportunity and momentum and the moment. And that I liked. She's also from Newfoundland. I like that too. And I hope nobody comes at me for just stating a fact. She's the only player in the NSL from that entire province. So I think it's okay for me to say that I'm fine with that. Anyways, I'm not salty or anything. Appropriate term to use talking about Newfoundland. Anyways, all I'm going to say is I like that moment, not so much for Caitlin Talbert. And it's a tough way to start, right? It's a tough way to get going. Like, that was, yes, the elements were bad. Yes, it was raining, but don't dilly-dally at your feet when you have an incredibly fast attacker on your tail, whose worm is not only incredible, her dance moves, celebrations, her sellies were fantastic. We know how fast she is. We've clocked that already. That kind of information is really imperative to have. So anyways, out of those moments that are not great, it's also going to be learning moments for Caitlin Talbert. Unfortunately, there's been quite a few of them. But again, the Wild don't have another option, in my opinion, other than her. Like, I don't see Rice coming back on.
No. I don't either, even though Sinead McSherry was very complimentary of Molly Race and how she helped that back line, which we know without Michaela Moore, without Rolfsema from last year was completely changed. It's very young. And that is a big reason why they're shipping so many goals. And she credited Race for kind of stitching that together and, you know, putting something like a structure and like a line of communication between the goalkeeper and the back line. But I think it's absolutely Talbert's net. So listen, AC, I know that you have to get going pretty soon. So I will give you first go here. But for our audio listeners, this is our best 11, the broadcast of week 6 in NSL. So Molly Eriksson gets the net this week. Very well deserved. A back three of Victoria Pickett from AFC Toronto, Harris from the Ottawa Rapid, and Sarah Rollins again from AFC Toronto. So we're going a 3-4-3 today. So again, fluid to just put in as many attacking players as we like. That's what this week's theme is. So our midfield four is Sarah Stratigakis and Nikki Small from AFC, Chloe Minas from the Roses, who's playing exceptional football, Jess DeFilippo from the Rise, and then a front three of that Lexus and Lisa Pachursky, Latifa Abdu as the nine, and Sid Kennedy, the lone representative for the Halifax Tide. So AC, first go for you. How does this compare to your 11? And is there anybody omitted that you would like to shout out?
Okay, it's pretty close. I thought we were going to have a way bigger argument than this. So I'll shout out Sid Kennedy on this one. She was on mine. That pass that you mentioned, Shireen, perfectly weighted to Benatti. Such work rate, such effort on the flank, really caused a lot of troubles. I'll shout out Nikki Small as well. I think exactly kind of what you mentioned, Amy, like, she did play with a chip on her shoulder. At least I saw one, and just the amount of lines she was breaking, the amount of tackles again. And so she really, really stood out for me. And I think she did have a little bit more to play for this week than usual. And then I guess I'll shout out Rollins in the back. I mean, Calgary, I think if the NSL website stats are correct, had 0 shots on net. So that I think Rollins and Pickett both were a big reason. And Rollins for me is really, really growing into that leadership role in the middle of the back three. She didn't play there as consistently last season, so she's getting a lot of reps this year. And I think she's just continuing to get better every game. And then if for a shout out for someone who's not on this, I'm going to shout out Anna Bout, who we did give some roses to earlier as well. Just the amount of ground that she covers. I remember I trained with her one summer in Guelph because she's from Cambridge and she was already running like crazy then. So if she put in that much work, it's kind of scary to think about, really. But she had seven tackles as well, I think most of anyone in the week. So
yeah, she's up there with the tackles leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to shout out Anna Bout.
Nice. Six, how about you?
I was going to say Enya Heiner-Muller had said about Anna Bout one game. I can't remember which game it was, but she said they clocked her and she did 12K. So she's doing 12K a game. Yeah. That's what she's running. So that shows that. I don't know who you guys are going to talk about, so I want to make sure I talk about somebody that you guys aren't going to talk about.
Signe, you just go and we'll adjust.
Oh yeah, okay. We'll adjust.
I'm going to give a shout out to, so my two shouts on this list, I'll keep it brief. Sarah Stratigakis. We knew she only had, according to Marko Milanovic, they were only going to play her for about 20 minutes because she's coming back from injury. So like on a bit of a restricted minutes. And what an impactful player she is. She's so important to AFC Toronto and the way they want to play, the way she can get in behind, the way she links up, the goal, an assist, you know, like she just does it all. And that was in just 20 minutes of play. So I think you have to give a shout out to her. And Jess DeFilippo, who is a friend of the show, we just love her for, like, you know, her spirit and what she brings to the pitch. But man, she was on fire.
Fire.
She was on fire against the Roses. The clang in the crossbar, you know, her goal to win the game. It was just she had an outstanding performance for me. And I think she does a lot of work off the ball that is not recognized. Yeah. And has really shown up, especially not necessarily the first couple games of the season, because I think the whole Rise team was struggling, but really has been the glue for me in this last half.
I love all that. And I wasn't going to talk about those players, even though I agree with you. Amy, if I may, I want to talk about Chloe Menas, because watching her play, for me, she's such a classy player. Her technically, to watch her, she's finessed, she's smart. She reminds me of Louisa Nassib, who was one of my favorite players of all time, who played for France. Yeah. I love the way she moves. I love the way she anticipates. I love the play creation. I love the drive. I love there's a tenacity, but there's also a poise.
I was going to say elegance, but yes.
There's an elegance. And watching her play, you're just like, ooh, like, there's so many styles of play in this league. And I think that's one of the most brilliant things about the NSL, is that we see different kinds of play in different, like, individual plays, like the way the technical people move. I really enjoy her, and she has been fantastic. I think, my gosh, I feel like she'd be a very high-end BMW. So I'm going to stop with that. I'm really going to stop with that. I was left a little not speechless, but I was just like, damn. And one of those, damn, I wish I could have played like that kind of thing, in such awe.
Yeah, she's the Roses caviar, maybe, which sounds ridiculous coming from a vegan, but I couldn't think of anything else. It was like high-end in the way of food. My lone comment, because I know, AC, you need to leave really quick, is the play of Pickett, the play of DeFilippo, the play of Abdu. We're talking about the player pool and what the NSL is doing to push standards, but also to elevate the profiles of certain players and maybe push them onto the national team, or at least feel like they can be given a look. And I think a lot of these players, notably the ones that I just mentioned, are doing that. So if they can do that consistently, say for another 5 games, you get to the midway point of this NSL season, hopefully then Casey Stoney is sitting up and taking notice, because I love that for these players. I would love Victoria Pickett. Marco Milanovic talks about the way that she steps out of the back line and drives into space. We know that midfielder kind of converted to that right-sided center back in a back three. He said that she's doing things that nobody on the back line of our women's national team is doing. I would say maybe Jade Rose does it a little bit. But other than that, there's nobody that brings that type of quality in driving and starting an attack and the buildup out of the back line. So, Casey Stoney, you're not listening, but I'll send you this audio clip. All right. So we will wrap it there, because AC's got to get to work. But thank you so much.
Quick.
Yeah.
One last thing I want to mention that I forgot. Quinn's collaboration with Lush.
Yes.
That deserves a nod. Good. They are fantastic. It's Pride Month. I just wanted to say that I was shocked and delighted to see Quinn do a video, because, like, they're not the first person I think of when I think of social media, right? So, but to have it be for something they believe in so much, like ethics, like, you know, fighting animal abuse and testing on animals, like, it was just, it was witty, it was funny, it was who we know them to be.
Yes.
It was very Quinn, and I was delighted. So just a special mention and a nod to that, and just everything about it, like the organizing, like the company itself. We're not out here to, like, prop up companies, and we're not known for that, but Lush has social and political stances that they take, and that's so in line with Quinn as well. I was just so happy, and it was just so wonderful to see it. So congrats to everybody who needs to be congratulated on that.
Congrats.
Happy Pride Month. Happy Pride Month.
Yes. Happy Pride Month. As well. Yeah. Happy Pride. AC, thank you for stopping by. It's been too long in between appearances. So please come back and see us soon and off to work. Have a wonderful day. And to our listeners, thank you for watching and listening. And Foodie Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary as we do here on the Broads. Thank you for broadening your horizons with us. Cheers, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Foodie Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/FoodiePrime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at FoodiePrimeIG and on Twitter at Footy_Prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.